Unfiltered.
I'm not sold. I'm sorry.
Unapologetic.
I'm not trying to talk about him.
Unlike anyone else.
But knowing y'all.
Y'all will probably make me.
This is the Stephen A. Smith Show.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to the latest edition of the Stephen A. Smith Show, coming at you as I love to do every weekday over the airwaves of SiriusXM Mad Dog Sports Radio. The number to call up, as always, is 888-MAD-DOG-6. That's 888-MAD-DOG-6. That's 888-623-3646. 888-623-3646. I'm not happy this Halloween. It's Halloween holiday. I'm not a big Halloween guy. I know I got the background and stuff looking all fly, thanks to my producers doing what they do. Okay, my man Thomas Griffin and the crew, major props to y'all for the background. I like it. I like it. Okay, that's a very, very nice thing. However, we've got a game to talk about because we've got the Baltimore Ravens, in my estimation, emerging once again, and it's something that we have to pay attention to. The greatness of Lamar Jackson put on display Thursday night in Miami, where they ultimately beat up on the Dolphins 28-6. The Ravens scored 3 touchdowns and 3 red zone trips. Lamar Jackson, think about this. This season, his NFL rankings, based on a minimum of 100 pass attempts when he's played, because he missed the previous 3 weeks because of that right hamstring injury, 136.7 passer rating, leads the National Football League. QBR is second only to Dak Prescott. 9.1 yards per pass attempt, tied for the NFL lead with Sam Darnold. 73% completion percentage, third behind Drake May and Jared Goff in New England and Detroit, respectively. And 11.9 TD pass percentage, leads the NFL. 14 touchdowns, just 1 interception. In his career against Miami, he's thrown 18 touchdowns, just 1 interception. Okay, you see the Tua Tagovailoa numbers there, 25 and 40, 261 yards, an interception, no touchdown, a QBR 22.7. His season is done. We don't need to spend too much time on that just yet. But I'll get into the Miami Dolphins, who made news today by firing their GM. I'll get into that in just a second. But before I do any of that, I just want to say this about the Baltimore Ravens. We're going to have to pay attention. We're going to have to pay attention to the Baltimore Ravens. And I'm going to tell you why. Because when you look at the Baltimore Ravens, like right now, they started the season at 1-5, and I get that, okay? They're now, you know, at 3-5. The Baltimore Ravens on a 2-game winning streak, of course. The Baltimore defense, ladies and gentlemen, through weeks 1-5, they allowed 35.4 points a game, 408.8 yards per game, with a grand total of just 2 takeaways in the first 6 games. Over the last 3 games, since week 6 of the NFL season, 6, 7, and 8, the Ravens have allowed only 13 points per game, only 315 yards per game. They have forced 5 turnovers over the last 3 games. And by the way, it wasn't just against the Dolphins. Before that, it was against the Chicago Bears. Before that, it was against the Los Angeles Rams. That's what we're talking about when we're talking about the Baltimore Ravens. And then you look at this schedule right there. Let's look at it for a second here. Keep that schedule up, please. You got the Vikings. That's a win to me. J.J. McCarthy, I don't think, is somebody that's going to beat the Baltimore Ravens. After that, you got the Browns and the Jets. The Browns can't score. Jets can't do anything right. Unless they're going up against the Bengals. Oh, by the way, you got the Bengals after that. The Steelers' defense is trash. And then you've got the Bengals again. They can score on anybody. The problem is they can get scored on by anybody. So as far as I'm concerned, you got a Baltimore Ravens squad, right? They got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 games before they face New England and Green Bay and Pittsburgh again. Okay, they're at Pittsburgh week 18. They're at home against Pittsburgh week 14. The way that I look at it, they should easily go 4-2 during this stretch, likely go 5-1, and possibly go 6-0, which would put them in a position where their record could be anywhere, okay, from 7-7 to 8-6 to 9-5. That's what we're talking about with the Baltimore Ravens. This season is not over. It's not over. It's just begun. And Lamar Jackson is back, looking that way, bowling that way. Hey, that's what I'm thinking about. Got my man Cam Newton coming on in a little while to talk to me about some National Football League stuff. The reality of the situation is that when you look at the Baltimore Ravens right now, we can't summarily dismiss anything. You got to pay attention to the Pittsburgh Steelers. 2 years ago, they were a 500 team over the last 6 weeks of the NFL season before losing in the playoffs. Last year, they lost their last four games of the regular season before losing in the playoffs to Baltimore. When you look at the Pittsburgh Steelers right now, they fade as the season progresses. And because they fade as the season progresses, you know what? Even though Aaron Rodgers is a welcomed addition, when you think about DK Metcalf, it has you scratching your head saying to the Steelers, what the hell you let go of George Pickens for? You should have kept him. Because Pickens with Metcalf could have done some things for you if you're the Pittsburgh Steelers. But instead, what they did was they turned around and they invested their money. And this is where, you know, their GM, Khan, and Mike Tomlin come into play, and they don't look too good right now. And we all know how much I love Mike Tomlin. But they don't look too great right now. Why are we saying this? Because guess what, ladies and gentlemen? Yo, you spent about $175 million on that defense. $175 million. That's what you did. So you spent all of that money, right? Your defense got to look better than what we're seeing. I'm not happy about this at all. To me, it's easy to surmise that the Baltimore Ravens can and probably will win the AFC North. I'd be shocked if they did it. And once you're in the playoffs, it's a new season with Lamar Jackson and Derrick Henry not having fumbleitis like he did the first couple of games of the season. Look, y'all, I ain't sleeping on them one bit. And neither should you. We should snore when it comes to the Miami Dolphins. We should snore. I mean, this team is awful. I don't understand how they should lack the Atlanta Falcons the way that they did a couple of weeks ago. I don't get it. I really don't. And they lose a game last night. They fire GM Chris Greer, who's been with the team since 2000, started out as a scout, got elevated to GM in 2016. Once getting elevated, they've gone to the playoffs just three times since 2016. And oh, by the way, they didn't win a playoff game. And the GM gets fired. I am unapologetic about the fact that I root for and support Black men getting jobs in these positions. I'm also fair-minded enough to say when they lose their job, if they deserve to lose it. And you can't make an argument on behalf of Chris Greer, the general manager for the Miami Dolphins. You just can't do it. I mean, I'm looking at it right now. His record was 77-80 as the GM since 2016, which ranks 18th in the NFL. That is not something to brag about. That is not something to brag about. And then we have to take a look at his record and the kind of things that he has done since he's been in this position, okay? He's out as the general manager, all right? He's the son, by the way, of the late Bobby Greer, who was a longtime executive for the Patriots and the Texans and a former consultant for the Dolphins. Chris's brother, Mike, is the current general manager of the National Hockey League San Jose Sharks, by the way. Champ Kelly will be Miami's interim general manager the rest of the season. Keep in mind, it's important to note that this move has been made against Chris Greer 4 days before the NFL trading deadline at 4 p.m. on Tuesday. So you got an interim now, an interim dude at the helm, helping to make a move before the trading deadline. I can't imagine what would help the Dolphins. Team owner Stephen Ross said this in his statement. This morning, I made the decision along with general manager Chris Greer to mutually part ways. I have incredible respect for Chris and his family, and I want to thank him for his many contributions to the Miami Dolphins over the past 26 years. As I assessed the state of the team and in my discussions with Chris, it became clear to both of us that change could not wait. We must improve in 2025, 2026, and beyond, and it needs to start right now. Champ Kelly will serve as interim general manager effective immediately, and we will begin our search process for a new general manager. I want to thank Champ for stepping up and his commitment to the Dolphins' success this season. There's a lot of football left to play, and we all need to fight even harder. By the way, as an aside, the Dolphins have the NFL's longest drought since winning a playoff game in 2000. They have not won. The Miami Dolphins, a team once led by Don Shula, a team once quarterbacked by Dan Marino, a team that once had Mark Superduper and Mark Clayton catching passes from Dan Marino. That Miami Dolphins squad has not won a playoff game since the year 2000. You simply cannot make a case for Chris Greer to keep his job when those numbers are what they are. You just can't. I'd love to. I cannot. But why the hell is Mike McDaniel still employed as the head coach? He's not a leader of men. He's not. He's a damn good football mind. He knows what he's doing. He deserves to have a job in the NFL. Hell, he may deserve to be a head coach somewhere else, just not here. There's a lot of distractions in Miami, y'all. There's a lot of distractions in Miami. And when you lose, it has to hurt so much so that you can't enjoy yourself. You can't enjoy life sometimes because you hate losing. Myles Garrett is not a happy man. It kind of helps that he's off Lake Erie and it's getting cold in Cleveland. Not knocking the fan base because they're phenomenal and fantastic and Cleveland's a great sports town. I'm just talking about the ambiance. But see, when you got palm trees outside, when you got cribs that look like you had a resort for vacation, when you got that kind of weather, when you get to keep most of your check because there's no state income tax in the state of Florida, there's a lot to look forward to outside of football. So guess what? When you stick up the joint, when your team is trash, and when everything stinks, you could actually go out and party. And there's a party waiting for you. Because that's Miami and it's outskirts. Take it from me. I know. Don't know if y'all noticed or not. I actually was given a key to the city by the South Beach mayor years ago. It's the truth. Because I've been on South Beach a lot. I'm not asking you. I'm not speculating. I'm telling you, Miami has distractions. And you got to be an extra level of discipline. If you want to talk about the greatness of LeBron James and have a conversation about the GOAT, applaud that brother for winning two titles and going to four straight NBA Finals appearances in Miami. You revere D. Wade because he owned Miami, him and Pat Riles. And guess what? And their commitment to excellence, despite the temptations that existed out there, just as another element of greatness attached to them. So you got that going on. All of them. When you win in places like that, it matters. The Dolphins don't know what we're talking about. Ladies and gentlemen, they haven't won since Clinton left office and George W. Bush entered. We remember nothing about this franchise football-wise. They've done nothing. And you're going to keep the head coach? You shouldn't have let go of Brian Flores. But you're going to keep the head coach and get rid of the GM. It's a weak decision as far as I'm concerned. I don't like it one bit. But it's Stephen Ross's to make. He's made a lot of bad decisions. This is the latest one. You're going to send Chris Greer out the door. You should have sent the head coach out with him. You should have sent the statement to the rest of the team. None of y'all asses are safe. That's what you should have done. That's not what happened. To the phones we go. Mike in South Carolina, you're live with Stephen A. What's up?
Well, Stephen A., you know, my main squeeze now is the Tampa Bay Buccaneers have a bye week, so let's talk about my ex, the Miami Dolphins. As far as Chris Greer goes, this is a good start. I'm with you. You could have just gone ahead and fired the whole place, for all I'm concerned. But it's a good start. Listen, Chris, Stephen A., this guy...
Let me ask you this question, Mike. Should it have started with Chris Greer or Mike McDaniel?
Yeah, you could have done a both. No, you know why I say Chris Greer? Because he's been there longer. And okay. You know what else he did?
That's fair.
He and the owner passed on four for Shorty T. And you know who I'm talking about.
Yeah.
This is what this franchise did. Tell me who's got more upside, Herbert or Tua. All right, Herbert still hasn't proven that he can win in the playoffs, but you look at him too. Can you imagine having Herbert there all these years? to throw to Tyreek Hill? And can we just say, you know what made Tua? Tyreek Hill. Okay? That's what made his numbers go up. All right.
They definitely made a huge mistake by not drafting Justin Herbert. That's a huge mistake. Huge mistake. No doubt.
And Greer. It wasn't on our board for us. He didn't want him. That's why he was so hard on him. Because he didn't want him. He couldn't even hang on to the ball.
He didn't want Tua. But we don't know if Chris Greer did that because that's how Chris Greer felt or because owner Stephen Ross made him.
That's the bigger issue. That's the bigger issue with the Miami Dolphins is the owner. It's one mistake after another. Mm-hmm. It's just like with this. You should have just cleaned house.
Gotcha.
If you're going to get rid of Greer, get rid of the coach. Just clean house.
I'm with you. Appreciate the call, Mike. Thank you so much. Steve in Florida, you're live with Stephen A. Talk to me, Steve.
Thank you for taking my call. I had Dolphin season tickets in the 90s, from the 90 to 96. And their offensive line has always been under drafted by Greer, not good. But okay. I don't know where I heard it. Well, here, maybe they let the GM go today because maybe he didn't want to trade some assets for draft picks along with what, you know, the money he gave Tua. But I heard somewhere, maybe in your show or something, maybe I read it, that Tua with his hip injury late last year and in college, I think he had surgery, he can't throw an accurate deep ball. I don't think he studies enough to be like great and improve because now everybody.
Well, we don't know that. We don't know that. And we're not going to say that about a guy that was leading the league in passing for a couple of years. We can't do that to him. We can't do that.
I just don't think this.
Durability is the issue with Tua, man. I mean, you can't come back normal from the kind of stuff that he suffered. When he got the hit in Cincinnati and they had to carry him off the field, it looked like rigor mortis kicked in. It was bad.
McDaniel should have been let go, too. I'm sorry to interrupt you, though. But you're dead on about what you talked about him. He's not a leader of men. I always thought that.
I got you.
Take the show, bro. Take it.
Steve, appreciate you, man. Thank you so much. 888-MAD-DOG-6 is always the number to call. It's 888-623-3646. We'll get back to your calls on this, the NFL, the state of affairs in the AFC, the Miami Dolphins, and their decision to fire their GM but keep their coach Mike McDaniel, at least for the time being. Plus, we'll scour the NFL because we've got a big NFL weekend coming your way for week 9. All of that and more coming up next. Your phone calls and then come. By the way, your voicemail message is SiriusXM.com/GetSerious and SiriusXM.com/GetSerious. But that's after we have the one and only Cam Newton calling in to talk to us about this week of football games and plus some of the decisions that was made. You're listening live to the Stephen A. Smith Show, SiriusXM, Mad Dog Sports Radio. Back with more in a minute.